America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
.126 to go in the Sabres power play. Short side attempt scores. J.J. Paterka. McLeod gets it back again. Far circle. One-timer scores. Byram. We're in the offensive zone here to start it off as Byram on the blue line takes the shot. That one's right on the line. Scores. There it is. The quick start again.
You want to see me do it again?
Buffalo Sabres with a 3-1 lead and back on the offense again. Right in front. The puck is on the line or just ahead of it. Now it's in the net. Referee says we got a good goal. Thompson across. Paterka scores.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Sabres, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, everybody, good morning. Happy Wednesday. I had a thought walking in the rain.
It was rainy and warm.
Yeah. And fully understanding that nearly 98% of weather-based conversations are not based in data, but in, I feel like last year, right? Like you don't actually remember last year or the year before.
Even though someone is out there keeping track.
That's right. I feel like the fall of 2021 was rainy. Anyway, I feel like last year was, it was beautiful on Saturdays and it was beautiful through the week. And then every Sunday it was terrible because we had such a bad Bills home weather schedule.
Yeah.
And this fall, any rain that's fallen has been Wednesday.
During the week.
Yeah. Wednesday. And then you get to Sunday, like, oh, perfect day.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's chance, of course, but I did have that thought because it's been an awesome year at the stadium for weather.
Yeah.
And warm.
We really have had some nice days during the week, too, though. So I guess even though the rain would have been stuck in the middle of the week, it would have only been, like, when's the last time it rained before today? Was it last week?
Yeah.
Week before? Like, we're getting one day
a couple
week.
Days before I played golf recently. I don't even, the day before.
Yeah.
So anyway.
So it's been good, yeah.
Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. The trade deadline is come and gone. You've got election coverage on our sister station, News Radio 930 WBEN, if you want to check in on that. Trade deadline's come and gone. The Sabres won last night.
Yes, they did in a pretty, I mean, good game to go to, right? You had goals, you had fights.
Their best game of the year? It's not.
Was it their best game of the year? It probably has to be their best game of the year, yeah.
Yeah, score five, win.
Yeah, that's their best game of the year.
A couple things happened along the way. One thing happened that we don't often see, the Lindy Ruff accountability conversation happened with who was and was not in the lineup.
And then how he talked about them after the game?
Yeah.
Yeah, so no Samuelson or Joakim Haru.
And those guys have been, what's the word I want here?
Has either one, regulars? When's the last time either been a healthy scratch?
I can't remember Joakim Haru. And so did Samuelson, we talked about him getting a game earlier in the year, but I don't think it happened.
Yeah.
So those two guys get scratched. That is your, time for accountability.
And Lindy said he met with both players in the morning, and he said, I want those two players to raise their standard of play. I need their standard to be a lot higher. He said that in public.
Yep.
That's one thing that is, like, very, for me, it's refreshing, And this isn't even just a Granato thing. It's just coaches anywhere in sports. Lindy is like, oh, yeah, yeah. Like, he'll tell you what he thinks of a guy and how his play has been, like, right there.
And
like,
so-and-so.
It doesn't matter who he's talking to.
Right. So-and-so has missed the net a lot. He's got to finish those. And yesterday we kind of got him to say, yeah, we need those saves from our goalies. They also got that last night. Goals save above expected. So if you did watch the Sabres game, you got a good one. One of their better ones of the year. They beat Ottawa, who is kind of in the same boat. And at the start of the season, Ottawa looks much better at maybe pushing for that playoff spot. But now they are 1 point back of Ottawa. With Ottawa having a game in hand.
I mean, the bottom four teams in the Atlantic all just, or the top four just laughing like, oh, there they are beating each other up. They're going to just all be at the bottom again.
Maybe. There's only 4 points between 3 and 8.
Yeah, for now.
For now.
So Sabres are not in last place, by the way, which could have happened had they lost last night.
That's right. They could have been last in the entire league.
Also, Tage Thompson. See his stat line from last night? He had a goal.
A million shots?
He had a goal and assists and 11 shots on goal. I wonder how many shot attempts he had. He has been, I mean, you can't even focus on, hey, Tage is back, because the rest of the team has been so demoralizing. But Thompson is playing, can I say, every bit as good as he did 2 years ago?
Yeah.
He doesn't have the highlight reel goals, I guess, that he had 2 years ago to the same level. Like, they're freakish goals he was scoring. But he's on a 50-goal pace.
Yeah, he had 14 shot attempts last night.
Yeah. So,
and 11 hit the
net.
That's
a pretty good percentage,
by the
way.
That's pretty nice.
11 of 14 hitting the net. So he's been super impressive. That line has just never been the problem. Two more goals by Peterka last night. They scored 3 goals to the line. I think one of Peterka's was on the power play. So, yeah, I thought a really good game. And a game where fans probably liked seeing them stand up to Brady Tkachuk and the Senators a couple of times. The one time they didn't was after Ottawa scored their only goal and Dahlin was getting like shoved around by 4 Senators and nobody showed up. But otherwise, it's like even that front, they did pretty well last night.
So they did well. If you have a thought on that, you can join us. We'll talk about it with Paul a little bit later today. Plenty of football today. The trade deadline comes and goes, and I'm surprised. Are you? Is there anybody else kind of?
Well,
we don't know how mad to be about no move getting made.
I guess.
But they released Mike Edwards.
Yeah.
And other than that, nothing. They're going to add Jordan Phillips.
They're going to add Jordan Phillips, I guess, who has been statistically one of the worst defensive tackles in the NFL this season.
On one of the worst run defenses in history.
Uh-huh. And even last year for the Bills, he was horrible as a run defender. Like, one of the worst graded run defenders in football for a couple of years
right
now.
Right. Like, I feel like when we talk with Joe Marino at 7:30, he's going to say thanks, but no thanks on Jordan Phillips.
I feel like Joe might tell us, or maybe Sal will tell us, someone will tell us, don't even worry about this. He's going to be on the practice squad, or he's going to be the fifth guy.
Sure.
He'll play a snap here and there if he needs to, but, like, he's behind Ilyanku.
So does that mean Ilyanku now has a regular spot? It might. Instead of being elevated all the time, like, he might have a spot. Because they have 2 roster spots open.
Yeah. Well, here's how I came out of yesterday thinking. Because there was no trade after Za'Darius Smith. Maybe Smith would have been this, but that was in the morning. There was no trade after that where I went, oh, that was the guy.
Sure.
You know, Trey White getting traded. Just
don't need that.
Didn't need it. Mike Williams being traded. We talked about that yesterday.
Don't need that.
Didn't really fit. Marshawn Lattimore is an amazing player.
Sure.
I could see the Bills wanting him long-term,
right,
but they're not doing
that
now.
If you want to do that and not bring back Rasul Douglas, that's a long-term answer. Right, but otherwise...
That's a summer move.
Right.
Right now, you're not making that trade. The running back that got dealt, I definitely didn't want Jonathan Mingo, the receiver that got traded to Dallas. So there was no deal that really went down where I'm like, oh, that was the one. I left yesterday thinking a lot about Micah Hyde.
Yeah.
They have open roster spots. They released a safety. I don't know. That door has never been shut completely. I'm not holding my breath that they're about to do it in the next like hour. But I left yesterday thinking a lot about, I wonder if Micah Hyde is their move, deadline move.
What kind of expectations should there be from Micah Hyde? Because
is it any different, though, than what you would have acquired at the deadline? Like,
maybe.
How many guys at the deadline would you have traded for where you would expect more than what you'd expect from Micah Hyde if you signed him today?
We have written off nearly every player that the Bills said goodbye to from last year to this year in their transition as not as good as they used to be,
right.
Slowed down, lost a step, Jordan Poyer, you can see it. Tre'Davious White, you can see it. Whether that you feel that about Mitch Morse or Gabe Davis or Stephon Diggs, like everybody that left was supposed to have lost a step,
right? And, which typically happens, by the way.
Okay, and
like Jordan Phillips lost a step when he left the Bills. Cole Beasley and John Brown didn't even play in the league when they left the Bills. Like that's they do seem to move on mostly at the right time. Maybe
okay,
not in every circumstance.
If Micah Hyde comes back, what I should do is say, oh, not him though.
You
right?
Know,
is it he doesn't want to play? There would be a question about that in the world of football. Is it they're not sure? Is it money? Like when it comes down to what it is, every time we talk about this with Sal, you know, I want to ask it a different way. Like whose decision is it? Well, it's mutual. It's this. It's a, okay. It's going to be very convenient if I decide every player that left was about to hit a wall, except this one.
Yeah.
Who retired, kind of, but. Also, maybe it's injury-based. Maybe it's because of the neck. So, I don't know. I don't know what I'm supposed to expect out of Micah Hyde if they do, in fact, bring him back. It would be...
Can
what,
I expect...
is it better... are you better than DeMar Hamlin?
That's what I... I wonder if you're just better than DeMar Hamlin.
Right. That's
even
really
by,
all
even
you...
Even by a little bit.
That's all you got to do.
And I'm, you know, of the group, it's hard to separate them, right? Because Hyde and Poyer are like... I mean, it's like... they're integral to each other. Like, it's hard to mention one without the other. Let me try, though, for a moment. What was the biggest problem with their safeties last year? Not to say Hyde was, like, playing at an all-pro level like he had been a couple years ago, but wasn't it Jordan Poyer got really slow?
Yep.
That was easily the number one reason.
Yep.
What about Hyde? Can we even remember? What was Hyde last year for the Bills? He took a step back, but was he getting them beat? Was he getting toasted in the open field? Was he wasn't missing coverage assignments, I could tell you that, because they weren't having the big plays go over the top of them. So what, I mean, you know the one bad play I can remember from Hyde last year, which is never a situation he should have been, the end of the Jaguar game where the game is still going and they need to stop, and they are blitzing, and it's man coverage. Micah Hyde is one-on-one against Calvin Ridley.
Right.
He wasn't able to cover him.
Which you would not expect a lot of safeties to one-on-one cover a number one receiver.
Right. I'm not sure he would have been able to do that 5 years ago. Maybe. So, like, if I try to separate the two, wasn't Poyer more the one we thought was diminished than Hyde was? So, I again, I'm not expecting him to be an all-pro, but they have an open safety spot right now. And... they have a starter that's, I think, fine in DeMar Hamlin, but they have a team and a defensive coach that has proven, maybe this whole Mike Edwards saga is part of this, he has proven that he is not putting you at that safety position unless you fully understand this defense.
Mm-hmm.
And now Edwards is gone, and your only backup that I think is like a true safety that you could put in there is a rookie that gave up a massive play earlier in the season. So... that's why I'm thinking a lot about Hyde, because I think McDermott right now has an opening for a safety he trusts back there on the roster.
At one point, there was chatter the Chiefs were also in on Marshawn Lattimore,
right?
Who went to the Commanders. So
good.
The Commanders make the biggest move of the day with the Marshawn Lattimore move. Had the Chiefs gone for Lattimore, I mean, we would have been sitting here talking about how the Chiefs have decided the arms race is at a different level. Like, they really are gunning for something other teams are not, because they're going for the third in a row. It's about legacy. It's about greatness.
Yeah.
You know, with this team right now and what they need, you also would pull out, you say you're pulling Micah Hyde as a thought. You would also think the Keon Coleman news is not that bad on his injury.
Yeah.
If you were going to miss 8 weeks, would they have added a receiver? I saw someone ask Sal yesterday on Twitter about, what about Chase Claypool? And listen, we don't want to go down that road. You don't want to do that. We learned in training camp that all the guys they had that were the Flyers, none of them turned into anything. Tyrell Shavers had an incredible camp by most accounts and you know, doesn't get on the field. He's been passed over by Jalen Virgil. So I'm disappointed might be strong. I don't know what to think about it because Jordan Phillips, like you said, okay, just a practice squatter. I really thought they'd make a move at defensive end. And while Za'Darius Smith was the last end to move, there would have been probably five defensive ends that were called about by 20 different teams or 10 different teams. So just the fact that those guys did not move, maybe the market was set too high, I don't know. But it doesn't mean they couldn't have been had. Maybe they think they can get more from Vaughn. Maybe they just didn't have any sort of move they liked the value on. I mean, I don't even say maybe for that. That's got to be it because they didn't make a trade.
Yeah. There actually was one other name, I guess, that could have qualified here. I think I missed him because he's actually listed at linebacker, but he's an edge rusher, Preston Smith.
Okay.
Green Bay traded. Green Bay, again, 2 years in a row where they're like they're not out of it at all. And this year, they're very in it.
Last year when they traded Douglas, I think they were 2-6.
Okay, that's a little different. They traded a 32-year-old pass rusher to Pittsburgh who only has 2.5 sacks in 9 games this year, but his 3 previous seasons, 8 sacks, 8.5 sacks, 9 sacks.
Yeah, you also had Brandon Browning of Denver go to Arizona the day before the deadline.
Okay, so there were a couple that got dealt, but... that would have been my biggest surprise, was no move on the defensive line. But I guess I kind of made this point about receiver with Coleman a couple days ago that maybe they just think, look at our lead in the division. And look at where we're 2 games behind Kansas City for the 1 seed. I mean, if that's all we're playing for right now, you know, it's not like the greatest chance in the world we're going to get it. So what do we need? If we know we're getting Dwayne Carter back in 3 weeks... and we know we're getting Dwan Smoot back in 4 or 5 weeks, and we have confidence, okay, those two are dealing with injuries right now. Their injuries are not going to hold them out of the playoffs. Those injuries are not going to hold them out late in the season. Maybe they just think, what's the point? We're going to trade an asset to get through our next 4 weeks? Who cares about the next 4 weeks?
Well, you can't really think about it that way because by the time that happens, Rousseau might get hurt, or Vaughn might get hurt, or Smoot comes back and then gets hurt again. It would be about, you'd almost... sure, there's the injury where a guy's out for the year and you trade for a guy like Rasul Douglas. That's an obvious one. Injured for the year, right. Can we upgrade? This would just be, was there anybody available that would make our team? That's it. It's as simple. Za'Darius Smith. Would Za'Darius Smith make the team? Yes.
Sure.
Okay, yeah. Do we want to pay a 5th and a 6th? Because that's what the price was for Za'Darius Smith to go to Detroit. So anybody that would make the team is really what it is. And of course, there's, you know, contract... term, cap, all that stuff.
Role on the offense, how much you're playing the guy, if it's worth it. Smith, I think it would have been. He would have played over Epinesa.
I saw also you talking about on Twitter about DK Metcalf, how the Adam Schefter clarified Metcalf will not be moving. So that might mean there was a window where it looked like, I don't know that he would, but the Seahawks are listening to that. So maybe he moves this offseason. But those are such big moves. The idea of Metcalf or a Myles Garrett for the Bills, it doesn't seem like you'd want to trade first or multiple first-round picks for a guy mid-season. It's another deadline where guys get moved and not one first-round pick gets traded. Right. Nobody traded first.
Nobody's making a trade that big in the middle of the season.
And if we're looking at all trade deadlines, NFL and NHL, what happens in the NHL? First-round picks are rare to be traded, and if they are, they're lottery-protected to be deferred to the following year very often.
Right.
So you rarely get now these teams betting their best asset midway through a season. You get them in the offseason when they can plan for it and build around it, they'll do it. But this time of year doesn't happen in either league, really.
Yeah. Trading for a player of that magnitude in the middle of a season also is you need the team to be fully given up, right? 100% given up on the player long term. And when you're in the, like, it's got to be ugly then, right? Because off season, the guy might be away from the team. You might, some time apart, it might be easier versus, because you have to look the guy in the eye the next morning if you don't make the trade. Seattle, who is half a game or a game out of the first place in their division, is shopping DK Metcalf for a first-round pick, and then the deal doesn't get done. Doesn't Metcalf come in the building the next day? Like, what's happening? You don't want me long-term, huh? And now you've got a problem in the middle of your season that is not over, that is very live. Cleveland could have been different because Cleveland's, like, out of it. But Cleveland also has, I mean, Garrett's 28. I would assume they want to keep him. Right? Long term.
Yep.
So that's why I think offseason will end up working more with those massive trades because you just need all the stars to align 100% before you can even go down that road.
803-0550 is our phone number if you want to give a call on, are you disappointed in the trade deadline for the Bills? They didn't make a move.
I take it as a win that Marshon Lattimore didn't go to the Chiefs.
Oh, for sure.
Like that might be as impactful as anything the Bills could have done yesterday. Is just, he's not a Chief. He's a great receiver. Chris Trapasso tweeted this out that he hasn't allowed a touchdown
in man coverage
since 2021. And wasn't it?
It was Diggs on Thanksgiving.
Diggs on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. That's the last time he gave up a touchdown in man coverage.
Right. So He's great. He's awesome. If you're a Mike Evans fantasy owner, you know you just don't play Mike Evans when he plays Marshawn Lattimore.
And if you're a Mike Evans fantasy owner, all of a sudden that second matchup against the Chiefs is live for you now. Because
against the Saints, you mean?
Yeah. Sorry, yeah, against the Saints.
Because he's not there.
That's right.
Yep.
Yeah, Lattimore not going to the Chiefs is good. The good, you know, why wouldn't the Bills make that move? Because I saw a couple of numbers that, you know, who is right there in terms of how good he is in man coverage is Christian Benford. The Bills,
The Bills, they're going to pay Christian Benford.
I don't know when this is going to happen, you know, offseason, of course, but between Benford and Shakir and the contracts, they're going to start. They paid Spencer Brown.
Yeah.
Benford and Rousseau, those two especially, two are about to get big contracts. Or the Bills are going to have to decide, can we replace this player? And I don't think so. I mean, you got to be happy with these draft picks. That's the thing about draft and develop. There's a little bit of a added bonus in there for any GM. If you draft a guy and then sign him to big money, you get more credit than if you just sign a guy to big money. It's like, oh, you knew he was going to be good. And it kind of looks good on you. So,
well, especially if you guys have Shakir and Benford are fifth and sixth round picks.
Right. Even though that is somewhat random, you still get the credit for it. And draft and develop your own. I mean, it doesn't have to matter, but it sounds good. It looks good on a resume. If you know, the Bills are in a playoff game and it's 42 of these players were drafted and developed by the team. Oh, wow. Congratulations, you know.
There's no metric that doesn't like Christian Benford as like one of the top
corners in the league,
10, 15 corners in football. There are some that have him as like I think the one that he always rates the best in is separation prevented, where he's always like top five in the NFL. Like he's been up there with Sauce Gardner. He might be higher than him this year, but, you know. Who's Denver's guy? The top corner?
Patrick Surtain.
Patrick Surtain. He's always right up there with Surtain. He is, this year, one of only four corners to not allow a reception of 15-plus yards this season. And the other names are Reek Woolen, Marlon Humphrey, Christian Gonzalez. Reek Woolen didn't give up a 15-yard reception to Keon Coleman. I guess the one Coleman caught for like 20 was up the seam. It was like he was in the slot.
He bounced off a guy that wasn't him, too.
I'll have to look. It seems like Coleman would have had one. Either way, the point is that Benford has been awesome. And yeah, I guess like this is kind of like they don't add anybody big yesterday. I wasn't expecting like a huge deal anyway. Don't we kind of know who they're going to invest in next? Like we know the list. It's going to be Rousseau, Benford, Shakir. Missing one? Bernard?
Sure.
And then we'll fight about Cook.
Right.
That's the one where just like we'll see, right?
I have a crazy stat on Shakir for you. We'll save it. Stat of the day. Crazy stat on Shakir. And it kind of gives some context to his efficiency numbers. And also I think makes his next contract conversation a tough one. But anyway, trade deadline for the Bills comes and goes. Marshawn Lattimore, the biggest name that moves at the deadline. Mike Williams, the Steelers get their second receiver. So now George Pickens and Mike Williams, that's a lot more threatening than what they had.
It's also like the same type of receiver. So is their whole offense now just going to be
bombing
Russell
deep?
Wilson throws jump balls down the sideline?
I mean, Russell Wilson is very good at those.
He is.
So
I'm not saying it won't work. No? It's funny that their both receivers' specialty is just, I just throw it to him down there. He'll figure it out.
Yeah. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us. Let TRS Heating and Air Conditioning intercept your heating bills. Enter now at WGR550.com for a chance to win $1,200 towards your home heating costs. Don't fumble this opportunity. Contest ends January 5th. TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence, powering tomorrow.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve. It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Comforting today.
Played back to the point. McLeod gets it back again. Far circle. One-timer scores! Byram!
One of the moments of the game brought to you by Firth Jewelers for all the moments in your life. Go forth to Firth. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Happy hump day. Rainy out there. Rain through the morning and should taper off.
It's going to later this morning.
Yeah. Pretty much it rains while we're on.
Yeah.
That's the sound of it. High of 71 later today. And looks like sunny the rest of the week. Bills and Colts this week. We'll talk with Sal coming up at 7. Joe Marino, the Locked On Bills podcast at 7:30. Judah Fortgang at 9 o'clock of Pro Football Focus. He does a really cool newsletter. It's a Substack I subscribe to called Throw the Damn Ball, which is a lot of data-based picks. I use it for my fantasy football lineups, which games to get near, which games to avoid. Really cool stuff. So Judah Fortgang joins us at 9 o'clock. I think you'll enjoy it. I have a stat of the day for you.
Okay.
Want that?
Let's do stat of the day.
Stat of the day. It's a stat of the day on Khalil Shakir.
Okay.
So, Shakir.
It's been amazing.
If we were to rank the Bills.
And this is not the stat yesterday that I had, which is he is second in, him and Allen are second in the NFL in EPA.
Right.
For a quarterback-receiver combo.
So, if we were to rank the Bills in popularity, one, Allen.
Yep.
Two,
are you about to claim it's Shakir?
I'm ready to listen to other answers.
Because all the popular
Keon
guys
Coleman.
That were, all the popular guys that were here forever are gone.
For sure, right. Like there's changeover.
Coleman.
Terrell Bernard. But Milano. Milano. We'll go Milano, too.
Milano, too.
Milano's an all-pro.
Shakir could be third.
Shakir's near the top. Okay.
Yeah. So he's top five at least.
Right.
Dawkins.
Aaron Schatz had this. Khalil Shakir of the Bills has an average depth of target of 2.7 yards.
That's really low.
Really low. You want to know how low that is?
Yeah.
The next lowest receiver is 3.9. And no other starter is under 5.
Wait, so he's the lowest receiver in the league at this?
Yes. Average depth of target, Khalil Shakir has by far the lowest average depth of target. Now,
who's do you have right there who the other receiver is that's below 5?
Wandale Robinson.
That makes some sense.
3.9. Yeah. And then no other starter is under 5.
Wow.
So, I know what you're thinking, right? You're saying, well, guys, they throw them all those tunnel screens, right? They throw them those swing passes.
Yeah.
The fourth down orbit motion that they've thrown to him.
Those have been 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, yeah, Shakir had a game earlier this year where he had like 70 yards, and the air yards to him were like, I think it was 1.
Yeah, so, right.
He's great as a yak receiver, and I've seen a few people refer to, you know, when he gets the ball, he becomes a running back with the ball in his hands because he's contact balance and he's so good after the catch.
Yeah.
But it's worth pointing out that Shakir is, if I may, a big product of Joe Brady. Is that wrong? Joe Brady showed up and he got Shakir the ball a lot because he identified him as, if we throw this guy the ball quick, he is my yak guy. Brady wanted to be a yak team like Dorsey did before him. And one of the ways that Brady got that done was Shakir. The fact that he is a 2.7 yards depth of target.
Right. Yeah, I'm looking at the list now. It's all running backs around him.
It is
everybody's. It's all running backs.
He is your screen receiver.
Yeah. Yeah, so, he really is.
So there's a little bit of a conversation. I you know, sometimes we just sit here and say, well, the next great receiver is going to make $32 million. The next one's going to make $35 million. The next one's going to make... And with Shakir, he's unique in a way. It's why Matt Harmon refers to him as like the perfect type of receiver to succeed in today's game where they take away the big plays.
Because
the Bills take the small plays and turn them into big plays with Shakir.
Yeah. He... I guess that's a good sign for Brady, right? That he has a guy and he's able to get this guy into enough space and they figured out the screen game enough to have that working because, man, 2.5, 2.7, there is not a guy I'm thinking of that succeeded in this Bills offense to this extent that has ever been near that low. Even Beasley was not near that low for the Bills. He, though, is, I mean, they're recognizing his talent. Like, one of his talents is he just bounces off tacklers, and he can cut quickly. So that also would also explain to a bit why he is by himself when it comes to catch percentage at wide receiver.
His efficiency is represented by the fact that he gets a yards per target, a depth of target that running backs get. That's why he's with all the running backs. He's thrown the ball kind of like a running back.
I want to look. The guy that I often see in like yards per target or ADOT that is super low in the league is Deebo Samuel. And I'm trying to find where he is on this season. He's at 8.7. He's maybe had to go down the field a little more this year because Ayuk's been hurt and they've dealt with injuries. But he's typically one of those guys. It's like it's just screens. But, you know, there are games where he's been in the negative and he's quadruple what Shakir is on.
If Shakir were a college player in this Bills offense, the scouting report would say, I wonder if he can catch the ball down the field. But we've seen him do that.
We have, we've seen him do that a bit.
He can do that. He can do that to a degree. I don't think he's, you know, one of these alpha man beaters, but it doesn't matter. This is, again, this is where I say, I'm not trying to say he doesn't deserve any credit, but Joe Brady and Shakir, that's the true magic matchup. He's got a guy that he knows exactly how to use, and for Shakir, he's got an offensive coordinator that knows how to get him the ball.
Yeah.
Like, if you have Shakir in a PPR league, you got to love it, because they throw to him four or five times a game easy, and you know he's going to catch him. How many targets does Shakir need to get six catches? He needs seven. Whereas, you know, your guy on the outside, whoever it is, might need 10, 11 targets to get those six catches.
Well, I'll say this. The other guy that is right – well, you know, even he's at six. But the other guy that I'm seeing these plays get designed to, it's happening way less often. But early in the year especially was Curtis Samuel, right?
Right.
They were throwing screens to Curtis Samuel early in the year, and they weren't really working the same way. So it's one thing to get those passes, and it's one thing to have those passes blocked for you in front by the receivers, but then you've got to go make something happen with the ball in your hands. And has that not been a big part of Samuel's story and Shakir's story this year? Is one looks infinitely more dangerous with the ball in their hands right now. Samuel's had those screen passes. He doesn't look that dangerous.
No, not at all. Coleman does.
Coleman even looks dangerous. They've started throwing Coleman that screen once in a while. That might be the surprising thing for me, is I thought Shakir this year would be impactful as like an underneath target, slot, you know, zone beater guy that could do some yards after catch, but that their yak guy, their screen guy, was going to be Curtis Samuel. That's how Joe Brady used him in Carolina. And we're through nine games of the season, and every screen for the rest of the year feels like it should go to Shakir. Feels like they shouldn't even try Samuel in that role anymore, because he might get to a point where he does look more dangerous, but is he going to end up looking more dangerous than Shakir in those plays? Just I can't get to a place where I would think those plays that are working are ever going to look better in anyone else's hands than Khalil Shakir's. So, and that's surprising to me. I thought Samuel would be doing this.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550 to join us if you'd like to. It's Wednesday, November 6th. We got some dad jokes ready for you.
Yeah, early morning dad jokes.
Yeah, I got a lot of people shake out the cobwebs first.
All right.
I went to bed early last night.
How early? Before the Sabre game ended?
No, very... I mean, it's 5-1, so, like, very close to the end, decided to cash it in.
All right. The college football game has got me, like, I got to set a deadline. No, the game itself.
Oh.
I got to set a deadline, because otherwise it could be easy.
Up all night.
Just, like, especially when you're on a run. When you're on a run, you just gotta keep going. We did have the college football. We had the Maction last night, and then also the playoff ranking for the first time.
Oh, I did not see the playoff ranking.
The playoff ranking for the first time. Vanderbilt getting hosed. They have three.
So
losses.
The playoff ranking means that you have like a bracket.
Yes.
Pretty much.
There is a bracket. So
Boise State plays Texas?
Yes. I think they would play Ohio State, I think. Here. The first bracket, if it were to end right now. So the four byes would be Oregon, Georgia, Miami, and BYU.
Okay. I bet collegeplayoff.com and Ohio State was number two. But that must be old.
That's their ranking, but that's not their.
Oh, the bracket.
But they wouldn't be a conference winner because Oregon is ahead of them. So in the bracket, they would be the 5 seed and would play number 12 Boise State.
Okay.
Yeah. And then what's the other matchup? So you would have Texas versus Alabama, and the winner would go to play Miami.
That's pretty good.
And then Tennessee versus Indiana, winner goes to play Oregon. Penn State, Notre Dame, winner goes to play Georgia. Oh, who didn't want this?
I know. The college football playoff is going to be...
It's going to be so good.
It's going to be incredible.
It's going to be so good. And you're going to still have games that matter at the bottom of that bracket. Like, Indiana's undefeated. They're going to have to play Ohio State and maybe win to get in.
And with two byes, there's something to play for at the top end, too. Like that's one thing about the new NFL format with one bye instead of two.
Yeah.
Is, I don't know, how often has there been a race for the one seed? You had Baltimore win it with three games left last year.
Yeah.
You had the year where the Bills and the DeMar Hamlin game, that came down to...
We were down to the last week because there was a coin flip potential.
There was a lot of weird stuff going on.
Because the Bills and Bengals
was going
to
be moved. That was a three-horse race pretty much to the end.
Yeah.
But it feels like every bit as often as that happens, you've got it over quickly. And when there were two byes, you could keep a team that's... 11-4 engaged if there was a team that was 14 and whatever. So I kind of missed the second bye because it created more drama at the top. And as we've watched the Bills be this good for this long, there's not been a lot of drama at the top.
I was going to say the Bills would have how many times would the Bills have had the bye if they had kept the second round or the second seed for that? I think is this right? They finished as the 2 seed 3 straight years. Yeah. That's what I got. So they would have had a first round bye. Well, excuse me. Right now they're in the 2 seed. That's why. So the previous 2 seasons they would have had first round byes, but they didn't because they changed the playoff rules right before.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. Jeremy and Joe on WGR. Give us a call. We'll get Sal his recap on what happened and what didn't happen on deadline day. Also, today's the day we find out about Keon Coleman and any sort of prognosis or whatever diagnosis for the injury, how long he'll miss, if any time at all. We got a little hint from Sean McDermott on Monday, and today's the day to find out. 803-0550, again, the phone number. Give us a call on WGR. So the Sabres won last night. They'll be home on Saturday and Monday. In between, they play the Rangers. I was looking at the NHL standings where the Sabres are still, there's work to be done. They'll play the Rangers. The Rangers are a plus 20 on goal differential through 11 games. Yeah. They've given up 24 goals. How many teams have given up 24 or fewer? The answer is none. Best defensive team in the league. Then there's Winnipeg.
Who, have they lost yet?
12-1.
Jeez.
They're 12-1 and a plus 32.
That's insane. Where did that come from?
Right.
Winnipeg just being like the same team for 9 years in a row, and they're suddenly doing this. They're scoring a lot too, though, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
Winnipeg?
Yeah, Winnipeg has 62 goals, which, let me see, I'll try and find a team with more than that. The Devils have 53.
Yeah.
That's it.
So Winnipeg's really good.
Vegas has 54, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Colorado and Edmonton have been two of these teams that have kind of been down in the dumps too to start the year.
Yeah, McDavid's hurt.
In the NHL.
He's been out.
Yeah.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550 to join us. I wonder when we or anybody will take the Steelers seriously. The Mike Williams trade is fine. He's a guy.
He's better than what they had.
That's right. He's better than what they had. He's been good before. It's tough, Joe. You know how this is. Your opinion of a guy on film versus your opinion of him from a fantasy standpoint because he's so disappointing every year.
Yeah.
But he's a ball winner kind of guy. big.
Yeah.
The Steelers are going to run, what, four verts, all goes, and Russell Wilson's going to pick which matchup he likes and throw to Pickens or throw to Freiermuth. So the Steelers, them adding a weapon at receiver is not lost on me because they have pretty good weapons, and Russell Wilson has gone in, and I don't think anybody thinks that they should go back. Yeah, like they've done this with two quarterbacks. If Wilson had been playing the whole time, it's possible they're even better than, what are they, 6-7-2? 6-2?
Their record is pretty good, though, even on its own.
But look who their losses are to. If Wilson played all of their games, are they 7-1?
Yeah, maybe. I think I'm taking them seriously. My biggest problem with them, though, for 5 years, among other things, that wasn't the only thing. I think Tomlin does some really dumb stuff game management wise on a game to game basis, and I think he gets very overrated for how good his defenses have been, typically. But right now he's got a good defense, and
I mean this team lost to the Cowboys.
Okay, that's a tough loss.
And they lost the Cowboys and the Colts.
That's a tough loss too. Could they be undefeated if Wilson played?
I don't know about that.
But he's looked good, and their biggest problem was quarterback. No one would dispute that. Their biggest problem for 4 or 5 years now, since Roethlisberger got really old, was quarterback. Kenny Pickett started 24 games for that team, had 13 touchdowns and 13 interceptions, averaging 179 yards per game.
It's one of the reasons that and late-stage Roethlisberger is one of the reasons we just as a habit stopped taking Pittsburgh seriously. And if Russell Wilson is serviceable, then they have to be taken seriously.
And I do remember thinking that a little bit of like, okay, this is definitely an upgrade. Wilson last year in Denver, I think everyone thought it was two horrible years.
It was one horrible year.
It was one horrible year and then like a fine year. Last year, Wilson averaged 204 yards per game, 3,000 yards, 26 touchdowns, and 8 picks.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Like, you get that with a good defense.
It's a pretty good season.
Yeah.
And implementing him right with TJ Watt being healthy and the defense playing the way it is, like, could it be two things, though? I'm taking them seriously, and I also think they're going to lose a bunch of games coming up because they have a really tough schedule.
It gets a lot tougher for them, yeah.
So I would still pick them to make the playoffs, but I don't think they're like. We'll see when they play Baltimore. This will be important, but I still would not take them seriously like to win their division.
The real question is, can they beat the Bills? That's the discussion that whatever. There'll be time for it.
Playoff game. Who'd you rather play right now? Chargers or Steelers? Wild card playoffs at home.
I'm gonna think about that. 803-0550. Sal, next. We'll talk to him about the defensive line, possibly Jordan Phillips coming back, safety, what happens with Mike Edwards getting released and that move. So Sal checks in on the Bills next.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim. Located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.